With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, back live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where we have spent the last 2 hours watching Atlanta United fall to Inter Miami 2-1. All the scoring coming in the first half. A missed penalty after a retake was given on a missed penalty that was actually converted by Kubo Torres on a rebound. Looms large in this one, but the penalty was saved by Luis Robles. So I do want to be clear when I say missed penalty, unconverted penalty by Ezequiel Barca was more correct. But Atlanta United ran out of gas as they were chasing the equalizer in the second half. And Inter Miami, as we expected, we talked about it all day, starting with SDH, then on stoppage time, then on the five stripes countdown. You knew that if Miami got a lead, they would start the tactical fouling, and that's exactly what happened. 21 fouls, 11 in the second half, and that plus the just physical exhaustion in that hot, humid weather in South Florida obviously blunted any chance for Atlanta United to get that equalizer in the second half tonight.
This was the kind of night that you couldn't fall behind. You could not fall behind in a game like this. And the first goal you give up is kind of fluky, and you get a fluky goal back, so everybody's on level terms. And then you give up a goal that you can't give up, and you just don't have it. You have the penalty. You need to convert that. We talked about this last year with Pitti Martinez in Toronto, where he had an opportunity to rescue a point from the spot. He didn't do it. This one, Ezequiel Barco puts it on target twice, and they're both saved. You got to convert that. You have to convert that, and you didn't. And you get to the second half, and you could just see it as the night went on. The energy levels are gone, and it's easy for a team in Miami that's comfortable dropping guys behind the ball, sitting deep. If you get beat, you go ahead and commit the foul. No real worry about cards at that point. Three yellow cards on 21 fouls. It played into Miami's hands. You can't fall behind right now when you don't have the legs to chase a game.
Now, Atlanta United has fallen behind five times this year. They've conceded the first goal, and they are 0-4-1 in those matches. The exception was Saturday night in Orlando when they got that very late equalizer from Adam John. Man of the match brought to you by Heineken, and we're going to give this to George Bello again tonight, as we did on Saturday in that Orlando match. Bello had a really, really good night, especially in terms of duels won and tackles. He led the team in tackles with 7, and he won 59% of his duels, and he had a team-high 17 duels. And I think as far as energy is concerned, Bello really had a consistent energy level going down the left all night tonight. Made some more mistakes in the attacking third, which I know he's going to want to have back. But for the most part, George Bello, a very well-rounded game tonight to be man of the match.
Yeah, really the big mistake in the attacking third was a heavy touch on a good pass that he should have been able to create a shot out of. Outside of that, you're winning 7 tackles in a match. You're having yourself a night defensively. Your league leaders are generally around 2 or 3 tackles per match. Bello made it very difficult for Lewis Morgan when he was on that side. Lewis Morgan actually had to drift over to the other side to find some space. Bello defended Rodolfo Pizarro, who was one of the best dribblers in this league, very well. He had a great tackle inside the 18 that did not concede a penalty. George Bello is one of the top starting left backs in Major League Soccer right now.
Final stats. Again, George Bell, the man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Shots were 13-8 Atlanta United. 5 shots to 3 on target Atlanta United. Atlanta United had 65% of the possession, almost 70% exactly in the second half, as one would expect. Again, Atlanta United passing extremely well, 89%. They won 60% of the duels. They were fouled 21 times, and they had 7 corners to Miami's 4. Statistically, that's a dominant performance by Atlanta United, but game conditions have a lot to do with that. Again, Atlanta United chasing that equalizer with tired legs the entire second half and unable to get it in this 2-1 loss to Inter Miami. We'll take a break. We'll have the highlights coming up after this. Continue to send us your questions and comments on Twitter at MikeConti929 and at Longshoe. And we'll have more of the full-time report after this 2-1 Atlanta United loss to Miami right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That should be it. That is it. Full-time.
This is the full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta United falling to Inter Miami tonight in Fort Lauderdale 2-1. Strange match. All the scoring in the first half. 2 unconverted penalties by Atlanta United. We're going to play you that sequence in a moment. There's a lot more to it than that. I can tell you that with every Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they donate $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total currently $4,000. Okay, let's get to the highlights. The goals, 2 of the 3 were really strange. First one by Miami, unusual in that it was a 95-yard counter off a corner kick started by, of all people, Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, and it ended with Lewis Morgan scoring his first career MLS goal. Barco, stutter step up to the ball, hits it, going for the penalty spot, and it's cleared by LGP, and here's Pizarro in behind Hyndman. Here's a 3v2 for Inter Miami. Pizarro dribbling straight down the middle. Pass ahead now, Lewis Morgan. He'll shoot, score. Lewis Morgan on a counter for Inter Miami, a 3v2 counter, and Inter Miami has broken a streak of 337 minutes without a goal.
It's a situation where Atlanta was risky on the corner. They sent a lot of numbers forward. Miami kept 2 up high, and this is why they did, because it's a clearing header from Leandro Gonzalez-Perez. He steps in front of the Atlanta player. He's not able to pick out Pizarro with that header. He's got to win the header, so it's not a goal-scoring chance. It falls to Pizarro, and then it turns into a 3v2. That is poor planning from the Atlanta part. You can't allow Miami to have that many numbers forward without you dropping some players back. It's too risky. That's why you get punished.
But kind of fluky.
Oh, it's absolutely fluky because, I mean, LGP's trying to win that header. It could go anywhere. It goes in the absolute perfect spot. But it is still a planning issue on set pieces from Atlanta United.
All right. But again, fluky. And then Atlanta United, 5 minutes later, they get the equalizer. And again, kind of fluky. Here it is. Eric Rometty now coming up to the halfway line as Barco is clawed out from behind but comes forward. It is sent off to the right wing. Here's a cross to the penalty spot. And it's put in for an own goal! It's put in for an own goal by Inter Miami. Incredible. What a mistake. Andres Reyes, what happened? It's 1-1 on a gift to Atlanta United.
It's Eric Rometty who gets it from the ground.
Yeah, Rometty did score. I thought it was an own goal, but Rometty on the ground kind of swiped at it with his right leg. And how about Eric Rometty with the goal? All he does is score golazos.
Definitely not a golazo. Weird situation, but you have to give Rometty a lot of credit for staying with the play. The pass was behind him. He's trying to kind of back heel it in. Reyes is at that point just trying to pass it out to give away the corner, and Rometty just beats him to the ball and pokes it in. It's a great little moment of just sticking with the play and finding some way to put it on goal. Eric Rometty equalized.
And then 5 minutes later, Inter Miami got what turned out to be the game-winning goal. This was a beauty by Lewis Morgan, a golazo to make it 2-1. Back into the far corner to Ben Sweat around Brooks Lennon into the box. Ben Sweat stops. Miles Robinson taps at it, but it rolls to the top of the 18. Here's Morgan. Shot! Score! Golazo! Atlanta United unable to clear, and Morgan has scored for the second time this half.
Sweat wins the 1v1 with Lennon, cuts inside. Robinson stands him up and actually gets a play on the ball. It deflects back to Ben Sweat. Everybody kind of hesitates, and Sweat just picks Morgan out at the top of the box, and he puts it in off the inside of the post.
Okay, now the sequence in the 40th minute, and I trust our producer, Dylan Matthews, did an excellent job in trying to cobble this together because a lot happened here. It started with a Miami counter with John Gallagher being struck in the face. And the debate now, apparently, Stephen Glass has been or was told, and he conveyed this in his post-game press conference, he was told by the referee, Robert Sabiga, that he did not believe it was an elbow.
That's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement for a referee to give. Doesn't matter if it's an elbow. So if you hit somebody with a forearm in this manner, isn't that striking someone? Isn't that striking someone? Does it really matter if it's an elbow or not? It's intentional. He looks at Gallagher. They had been battling throughout the first half. He lines it up, and he throws the arm back and connects with Gallagher in the mouth. You know, the biggest problem with it, and something John Gallagher needs to learn, and maybe this got knocked out of his system during his time in Scotland where players get up immediately from that, he should have rolled around for 10 minutes. And maybe then it would have been a red, because that's what seems to happen around here. It's incredible that Robert Sabiga tells Stephen Glass, well, it wasn't an elbow, so it's not a red card. It's an absolute joke. It's striking a player in the face. If the disciplinary committee that gave a retroactive punishment to Franco Escobar, if they are doing their job, Nicolas Figal does not play in the next match. We'll see.
Guess who just came up with a screen cap? At Mike Conti 929. All right, I'm going to tweet.
It's not an elbow. That part's accurate. It's not an elbow.
He didn't connect
with the elbow, but that doesn't matter.
This is the thing.
This is the thing, though. It doesn't matter because striking someone is striking someone. Just because he didn't hit him with his fist, it doesn't matter. If he threw the punch and missed, he doesn't get credit for having bad aim. He had good aim here.
Well,
he missed with the elbow, but he connected with a player in the face. It's a straight red all day long.
And the problem I have with it, we're going to play the sequence here in a minute. The problem I have is that Figal looked back at Gallagher and swung with his elbow. Might not have hit him with the elbow, but the intent was there with the swing of the elbow, in my opinion.
The intent was there to hit him.
We're getting
hung up on the elbow, and it is ridiculously embarrassing for a professional referees organization to have a referee tell a manager that it wasn't the elbow, so it's not a red card. It doesn't matter if it's the elbow. He hit him in the face intentionally. That's the easiest red card you're going to see. I don't know what happened. I don't know if we'll get this one on the review afterwards, because I don't know what happened between Soren Stoica and Robert Sabiga after that. It was checked. There was a conversation. Robert Sabiga never went to go look at it on the monitor. It's unbelievable that players are getting struck in the face and not seeing a red card. I don't want to hear an I'm sorry from pro, from the disciplinary committee, from anything. It's 45 minutes that you would have a man advantage in this match if a player who strikes at someone else intentionally in the face gets to stay on the field.
It doesn't
take away from Atlanta's poor play in the second half. Don't get it twisted. Understand what I'm saying to you. He throws an elbow, a spinning back fist, a forearm, whatever you want to call it, hits a player in the face and doesn't get sent off. If you have a man advantage in that second half, well, we don't know what would happen because we didn't get to see it.
It's about as upset as I've ever seen you.
Okay. Because it's dangerous.
No, I know. Well, you're very passionate. As someone who has suffered head injuries before, I know this is An issue that's very near and dear to your
player
heart.
Player safety is what referees are there for in these moments, and they all failed.
And let's go back to what happened here at the Benz a week ago Saturday. A high boot that left a cleat mark on Brooks Lennon's neck. Would it have changed the outcome of the match as late as it happened? Probably not. But this is a player safety issue.
Again.
Brooks Lennon has cleat marks on his head.
Again.
All right. So, anyhow, no red, but a penalty. Here is what unfolded, and here is what basically led to Inter-Miami getting 3 points instead of just one. Gallagher takes a step to the left, trying to play it through to Bello, poked away and stolen by
Vidal. Gallagher took a shot to the face.
He did, and they called it. They spotted it.
Looks like he's not going to show a red here, which is shocking.
But it is Atlanta United's first penalty attempt of the year. Robles is 1-for-2 on penalties this year. Action at the goal to our left in the 43rd minute. With Atlanta United trailing 2-1, Ezequiel Barco to hit Atlanta United's first penalty of the season. Has his hands on hips. Sabiga admonishing players. Now blows the whistle. Barco up to the ball. Strikes it. Saved. Robles not cleared. Rebound put in for a goal by Kubo Torres. 2-2 the score in a wild first half. Now what? Now they're going to the monitor. I'm going to tell you something. I think this is coming off. I think this is going to come off. We're getting the replay now. Barco strikes it, and Kubo appears to be in. There is a Miami player in the area
that
as
should
well,
be a Ulloa. Retake because there are two players in. It could be because Torres got to it first that it's an indirect free kick coming out.
This is a wacky, wacky sequence. So the check here is not for what should have been a red on Figal. It's for encroachment on Torres. It is the penalty. Going to be taken away. Let's see. Yes. So the goal by Torres is taken off, but Barco goes back to the penalty spot for a retake. We're in first half stoppage time. Barco with hands on hips. Up to the ball. Strikes it. And saved again by Robles. Out into the far corner. And cleared by Inter Miami. All right. Now, after we disagreed with the no movement to the monitor on what we believe to be a red card on Figal, let's then, you have to say Robert Spiga got the second part right, that it was absolutely encroachment by both Kubo Torres and Victor Ulloa, and the correct call was made to retake the penalty.
It was.
On the second penalty, I know some of you believe that Luis Robles may have been off his line when Barco struck it. He absolutely was not, and I tweeted the screen cap of that as well. So that part was correct. Robles is a very good goalkeeper against penalties, by the way. Technically, he's 3 out of 4 on saving penalties this year, although the save on Barco did not count. But he is very, very good at that. I think on the second one, on the retake, you just have to give fair play to Robles. It was a great save, maybe not the best struck penalty by Barco, but it really was a great save.
Yeah, both were good saves. I think both were good saves. Barco put both on frame and forced saves at full extension. There could be some confusion on the second one with Robles coming off his line. The rule has changed last summer going into this MLS season. You only have to have 1 foot on the line if you're a goalkeeper, not the old school days where you had to have two. You only have to have one. We went back and looked at it multiple times. Robles timed it correctly. That was handled right. Two players, you know, encroached on the first one. It's a retake. That was handled correctly. All of that was fine. Barco has to bury one. Maybe he shouldn't have taken the second one. He did put it on frame, so it's hard to really, you know, complain too much. You have to give the goalkeeper credit. I feel like at times, you know, and we all do this, you expect penalties to be converted. And when goalkeepers make good saves, you have to give them credit because they're not supposed to make that save. It's about 80%. It used to be in the 90% range. It's about 80% that penalties are converted. Luis Robles saved 2 here. He's going to get credit for 1, but he saved 2, and you have to give him that credit.
No consequential action in the second half, so it ended 2-1 Inter-Miami. Again, Atlanta United 3-5-2, 11 points, 8th in the East. Inter-Miami 2-6-2. 8 points, 13th in the East. We'll take your questions and your comments on Twitter right after this. Last call, send them to @MikeConti929 and @Longshoe. And we'll continue with the full-time report in a moment. Atlanta United falling to Inter-Miami 2-1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the full-time report. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back on the full-time report, Atlanta United falling to Inter-Miami tonight 2-1. Going to get to your social media questions and comments in just a moment. Of course, everything is better when Atlanta United wins. Today, a total of $3,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United proud to be a Piedmont donor. I'm going to get into this one more time, and then we're going to move on. IFAB Law 12 on violent conduct requires a send-off. Okay, now again, Stephen Glass in his post-match availability says he was told that on the incident involving John Gallagher and Nicholas Figal, when Figal struck Gallagher on the head with a forearm after appearing to swing his elbow in a deliberate fashion at Gallagher, that's my judgment. Think you agree?
Yeah, I mean, right. It doesn't matter. Like
that's the thing. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Here is the violent conduct law: a player who, when not challenging for the ball, wasn't a challenge for the ball.
Nope.
A player who, when not challenging for the ball, deliberately strikes an opponent or any other person on the head or face with the hand or arm is guilty of violent conduct.
There's no way to see that and say that it's not violent conduct.
Well,
there's just no explanation.
And here's what bothers me the most, Jason. This happened right in front of Sabiga, mm-hmm. who immediately grabbed a yellow card. Happened mm-hmm. right in front of him, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was checked by the VAR, Soren Stojka. We do not know if he sent it down to the monitor or not. You have a fourth official who may have been looking at it. You had an AR. I don't know if they were on the near touch or the far touch. If they were on the far touch, they may not have been able to see it. But how do four officials, a VAR, and an assistant VAR all conclude that there was not a deliberate strike on Gallagher's head or face with a hand or arm? I do not understand.
It's Robert Sabiga's decision. It doesn't matter if the AR says that he thought it was intentional, which is one of the criteria here. It doesn't matter if the fourth official says anything. Ultimately, it doesn't matter if Soren Stojka says, I've got it. I want you to take a look at this. I think you need to take a look at this. It doesn't matter. It's up to Robert Sabiga. And we don't know. Now, we found out the way the conversation went with the Antonio Carlos, Brooks Lennon situation because Pro released that. Like I said, I honestly don't even care at this point if they come back and say, oops, sorry, because twice last year in a week, penalties should have been given to Atlanta United. They weren't. They said, oops, sorry. They come back and they say, oops, sorry about this one with Brooks Lennon and Antonio Carlos. Should have been a red card. It should have been a penalty. Wasn't given. They do go back and find the red card on Franco Escobar, or find what they thought should have been a red card and suspend him. But they get another one wrong in the run of play. And look, it's not the same situation as the Orlando one, because that would have given you a penalty that could have made it 3-2 late. This would have given you a man advantage for the second half.
Exactly.
Against a team that played on Sunday that would have been struggling to deal with a man disadvantage. But we'll never know.
And he would have lost a right back on top of it. Which means to replace him, you're probably bringing on another right back and you're taking an attacking player.
You would have brought on Nealis earlier, but we'll never know how it would have played out because Robert Sabiga didn't throw a red card and didn't want to take a look to admit that he messed up the call in the first place.
Yeah, it's just very frustrating. And again, we're looking at it through the Atlanta United lens because we are their broadcast team. But objectively, I think if you watch the sequence, all the videos are out there, all the screen caps are there, you be the judge. And if you disagree with us, you know where to tweet at us. We'll take your tweets and we can debate it. But
it doesn't excuse the lack of chances being created by Atlanta United in general.
Not.
It doesn't give you fresher legs in the second half. It doesn't do any of those things to fix it, but it is an egregious mistake that Robert Sabiga made here that did affect the way the match played out.
And again, bringing up the Brooks-Lennon incident with Antonio Carlos, where Lennon was kicked in the head, and the referee in that situation, after Pro released the communication, believed that not only was it not a foul on Antonio Carlos, but it was a foul on Atlanta United. The referee was of the belief, based on the communication on the intercom, that once the ball is away, you can do anything. He was rebuked by Pro, Nima Sagafi. Nima Sagafi, by the way, will get his third assignment as a center referee this weekend since that call was made. Okay, let's get to your comments and questions on Twitter, presented by TCL, the official smartphone partner of Atlanta United. Abby Schiffman wants to know, why no long diagonal? Bello seemed to be open on the left side, and no one could quickly get it there.
Yeah, Atlanta United struggled to open the game up as it went on. That's something that has to happen more often. It felt like in the first half, Atlanta United was playing the flanks more than they had. It was something we talked about in the pregame. I think it you know, led to Atlanta looking dangerous more often in the first half because it created some more space to work with. As the night went on, it wasn't happening enough.
Now, a couple people, including Robert Swick, on our discussion about the Figal sequence, wanted to know if double jeopardy had applied there, and that's why it was not.
No, it has nothing to do with it. That's on a dog-so situation, denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Violent conduct, if you commit violent conduct on a play that would result in a penalty, you are still sent off. It's basically to prevent somebody from punching a player in the face and breaking their nose, but saying it was in the box, so you can only give the penalty. There's no reason that should be allowed.
Michael Head says, when your only designated player does not convert two penalties, you simply don't deserve to win.
100%. You have to convert your penalties when you get those opportunities. You score them more often than not. Luis Robles made two saves, and good saves, but you have to convert that.
Mr. Green, Miami did everything they could to give away the points tonight with silly turnovers and an abundance of fouls. We just couldn't capitalize when they left the door open. I like the effort by multiple guys, Barco, Bello, Gallagher, and Lennon, to name a few.
Yeah, Atlanta forced Miami into giveaways. Atlanta fought in this one. They didn't give up. I think that's something that is just not true. I did not see that. I think they ran out of gas. You can't fall behind in these games. But they did make it difficult. Miami did not close the game out well, but Atlanta could not find a way to get an equalizing goal.
Tommy says, terrible performance. Seemed like most players didn't want to be there. Tommy, you're better than that.
I disagree that you're most players. I'll tell you where some of that's coming from, and it's something from a perception standpoint that didn't look good. On the breakaway after the LGP header, Emerson Heinemann had poor positioning on Rodolfo Pizarro and wasn't going to catch him and didn't put forth a great effort to catch him. I don't think he would have caught him, but you can't have the appearance that you're giving up on the play.
I agree. JB says, I'm disappointed in the loss, but the guys were more aggressive, which made us more vulnerable. It is a little embarrassing giving them only their second win.
I don't care about the embarrassing part, second win. Miami's not built like a normal expansion team. Miami can be a dangerous team. They're not complete either. Matuidi played the second half here. He's not 100%. You don't have your number nine. We'll see if Gonzalo Higuain get signed, and this team looks very different. But this is a team with ambition. Atlanta United can't fall behind to them in this game. They just can't, because they're too good defensively, especially lately, and you just didn't have any answers.
Four Cards says, I'm too emotional right now. We played better, I think, but we need to see more urgency with quicker passes and more cutting.
Yeah, and we saw that at times. It felt like early that was happening, but as the team got tired, it went away, which is somewhat to be expected. The runs off the ball, it takes a lot out of you, and it seemed like they stopped doing it at the end when there was nothing to go forward. And at that point, you know, if you can't get the runs in behind, if you can't have the splitting pass to open the game up, you've just got to lump it long and look for a knockdown, and they were reluctant to do that.
Turner Kirby, who I always believe to be a voice of reason, says, people need to remember that we have only one out of three designated players. Our best player is done for the year. The team only gets one real training session per week. Not to mention Miami should have been down to at least 10 and maybe 9. And I don't disagree with that comment either, because Leandro Gonzalez-Pires was playing on an orange card for most of the second half. Did not commit a foul in the final 30 minutes, though. But I think Turner's point is well taken. I mean, when you don't have Joseph Martinez and Pity Martinez, this is going to happen.
Just like Miami's not whole, Atlanta's not whole right now. Joseph Martinez is a huge loss for this team, and I didn't think it would be as big of a loss as we've seen. I was wrong. I think everybody was wrong when they thought that they could find a way to deal without Joseph in this team. This team is very reliant on Joseph. Then the Pity opportunity comes, and you take it. And some people think that was a great thing because they never rated Pity Martinez anyway. I think you see in these last two games what you miss without Pity in the last three games, what you miss without Pity Martinez. You do lose a lot of chance creation. Ezequiel Barco is in a different role now. There's a lot more pressure on him. I think he's feeling that pressure. I think he's learning how to deal with that pressure. He needs to learn quickly because right now he is the guy who's creating the opportunities for this team, and he has to step up.
Taylor Regan, is Saturday now a must win to maintain pace to stay in the playoff race? Feels like just making the playoffs would be consolation for a season that we're having right now.
I think it's way too early for anything to be a must win, but you don't want to continually fall behind. Just like in matches, you can't give up early goals. You can't keep falling behind because you don't know what the rest of the year is going to bring. We don't know what the schedule looks like yet. We don't know how crowded it is. We don't know what travel is going to look like. We don't know if a new designated player is going to arrive in a week, in a month, in 2 months. We don't know these timelines. You need to pick up points where you can. You needed to pick up points tonight. You did not. You need to pick up points in Nashville. It's not must win, but the further you fall behind, the harder that road's going to be to get into the postseason.
No doubt. Shiva, honestly, it's so hard to expect anything right now. We're waiting for Dom and Torres to make a difference in the attack, and when they come in, Pity is gone. I'm sure it's just as frustrating for the players as it is for the fans.
Yeah, and you can see it, and it's frustrating, and there are things that, you know, I think the players tonight after the match, John Gallagher and Brooks Lennon spoke to the media, and they echoed Stephen Glass's comments about this team has to stay together. They have to keep fighting together. They're not going to find a way out of this without working together to do it. And when that frustration happens, you do see the arms go up occasionally. You do see, you know, moments where you are displaying frustration from players on the field, and they have to fight through that. They have to stop doing that, because if you're already tired, you see these moments, it can affect you. They have to keep going. They have to limit some of these chances that they're giving up, and they have to stop falling behind in matches.
One more from Alex Pacine.
Pacine.
Yes. Got it right. Says, my kingdom for a line-splitting pass to a runner behind. Just one.
Yeah, it felt like early you had those runs in behind. Jürgen Damm looked more like himself tonight. He looked like he was starting to get in behind a little bit. He was making more runs off the ball. John Gallagher will run all day, even if he gets not elbowed but hit in the mouth. He'll keep running. That added an element, and I think that made Atlanta more dangerous in the first half. And as they got tired and Miami dropped deeper, there wasn't as much space to run into. And then you got back to what we talked about today. Atlanta has to move the ball quicker when the opponent sits deeper. Because if you don't move the ball quickly, they can just sit and shift side to side. So when the legs go, the ball has to move fast. You have to make the ball do the work. You have to pass quickly, make decisions quickly.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. All right, we'll come back and we'll wrap up the full-time report and take a look ahead to Saturday night in Nashville as Atlanta United falls tonight to Inter Miami 2-1 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, some quick final thoughts here on the full-time report. Atlanta United falling to Inter Miami tonight 2-1. They will now move on to Nashville and play at Nissan Stadium Saturday night. And the bad news for Atlanta United is you fly back tonight, regen tomorrow, maybe a little bit of training on Friday, then you have to travel to Nashville. Nashville did not have a midweek fixture this week, so
it just when continues it rains, it pours. To get better.
But, I mean, here's the thing. I do think before Atlanta United's gas tank was just completely emptied. I do think you saw some positivity.
You did.
Some aggression tonight. I mean, I think Atlanta United has played worse this season than they played tonight.
100%. You saw better intensity. That's absolutely true. The problem is that intensity did not get you a result, and now it's probably going to make it difficult for many of these players to have the same level of intensity in a couple days' time, traveling the day of the match to Nashville. And Nashville is going to be rested. And Nashville is a team with a little bit of a bounce in their step right now with a new designated player in town. We won't see him on Saturday, but that gives this team a lift. You know, the forwards up top are going to have to fight for their position. I think you're going to see better performances out of them. And this is a Nashville team that has proven to be very strong defensively. It is a Nashville team that Atlanta United has had success against this year. And Atlanta has to find a way to recreate that. But I think they're going to have to do that with a lot of new faces in the lineup from tonight.
Yeah, because a lot of players emptied the tank tonight. So we'll see what happens Saturday night. We'll be on the air at 8 o'clock with the Five Stripes countdown. 8:30, the kickoff from Nissan Stadium. We hope you will join us for that. For our on-site engineer tonight, David Jones, our producer, Dylan Matthews, and for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Again, Atlanta United falls to Inter Miami tonight, 2-1. We'll see you Saturday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Been listening to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.